for you as we talk this morning about the Good Shepherd. Jesus used the metaphor of shepherd and sheep to explain his relationship with us. In John chapter 10, in the first six verses, he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Then John explains, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. It seems strange that they did not understand that, particularly in light of the 23rd Psalm, the David, a man who had been a shepherd as a young man and knew what it meant to be a shepherd, and he likens the relationship that he has with God with the illustration of a shepherd and his sheep. And so in the 23rd Psalm, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David understood the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep which he was given charge over. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A shepherd takes care of his sheep so that they are without need. They do not lack. They do not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. A shepherd would choose where to feed his sheep. He would choose the best of the pastures that were available. And whenever they had eaten there, he would move them over to another, to a fresh ground where they could continue to graze and to eat from green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I've been told, or I've read, that sheep will not drink from running water. Not only that, but they won't drink from water that they where they can't see the bottom. In other words, they are skittish. They're concerned about any kind of movement and about something that's hidden from their sight. And so they are particular about where they drink. David says here that God not only makes sure that they get the green pastures, but also the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He takes me in the right way. And that's what a shepherd has to do with his sheep. He has to make sure that he leads them places where the sheep are able to go and able to travel. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a shepherd may take his sheep where there are lions or wolves that are watching over and looking for an opportunity to come down and to steal sheep from his flock. But yet the sheep are able to take comfort in the fact that the shepherd is there with his rod and his staff that he would use to fend off any of the predators that would come against the sheep. And the sheep trusted in the shepherd to keep them safe like that so that they would follow him even in those valleys, those dark valleys, where they knew the predators were all around. And so I, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So David here is liking his relationship to God with the relationship of sheep who trusts their shepherd. Then he turns it into the human element when he talks about, "You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I myself know that I am taken care of with my food, anointing my head with oil. You are watching over me. You are prospering me. My cup runs over. I have more than what I need. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So as he takes the illustration of a shepherd with his sheep, then he turns it into that personal relationship that he has with God, how that God will see to all of his needs, and yea, even more, his cup would run over. When we follow Jesus, we walk in a light in a world full of darkness. We are able to see what is the best way to go. We can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and be led by the light of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Following Jesus as the shepherd of our life lights our way, our pathway. So we're going to take some points from our text this morning. First of all, Jesus is the good shepherd. In chapter 10, we continue to read beginning at verse 7 and reading down through verse 18. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd.' The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received from my Father." Jesus here speaks of himself as the good shepherd, as the door of the sheepfold. The only way that you could legitimately enter into the sheepfold. Well, let's back up a second. What's a sheepfold? A sheepfold was something that was built. We would call it a corral in our vernacular. Many understand what a corral is. An enclosed area, fenced in. And they commonly built their sheepfolds out of stone, piling up stones that would be actually a wall. And they would use that, and they would also use briars and thistles in order to fill in some of the gaps. And, you know, even a wolf or a lion doesn't like briars or thistles. As a matter of fact, we think about the rabbit, the hare, and the bear, and how that the hare could jump into the thistles and say, "I'm free, I'm taken care of. You can't touch me now." And so, this sheepfold is where the shepherd would often put his sheep in at night, because at night was the most dangerous time. You cannot see the predators as well as the predators can see you. And so they would put them into the sheepfold. Now, the thing of it is many different shepherds would use the same sheepfold. And so here is one shepherd bringing his flock and putting it into the sheepfold. And here's another shepherd bringing his flock and putting it into the sheepfold. And another shepherd coming and bringing his flock and putting it into the very same sheepfold. Now, how many of you know the difference between sheep and sheep? Don't they look alike? I mean, cattle, they've got distinctive markings. Sheep, they pretty much all look alike. So when you go and you go to get your sheep, you don't generally say, well, now this is my sheep, and this is my sheep, and this is my sheep, and this is my sheep. We'll get them out. As the shepherd would come to the sheepfold and they would open the door, the gate, and usually that gate was made up, as I talked about, those thorns and those thistles in a frame of wood. And they would open up that gate. The shepherd then would simply speak out and call his sheep. They would know their shepherd. And then he would walk away and they would follow him. They knew their shepherd. The shepherd may not be able to identify every individual sheep that he has, but all those sheep knew their shepherd and would follow him when he called out. So Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the door of the sheepfold. He is the way in which we are able to enter into that protective barrier, that protective place that God has for us. You go into the sheepfold at night and you feel safe and secure. And Jesus is the means by which you enter in to that sheepfold. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 7, as we read, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." He's the only way to get into God's protection. As he said in John 14 and verse 6 to Thomas, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is the door to the protection that God has to offer. He is the door to a shepherd of our souls. The sheepfold, as we said, offers safety and security. In John 10, verse 27 and 28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." And so when you think about the relationship of the shepherd with the sheep, he protects them, he takes care of them, he will not allow the wolf or the lion or any other predator to come in and snatch that sheep away. Jesus said, "I'm going to protect you. No one can snatch you away from me." Now, the problem that shepherds had was not only in protecting the sheep from predators coming, but also sheep tend to wander. Sheep are for all the qualities that they had, the vulnerability and the lack of self-protection, and they would rely upon the shepherd and follow the shepherd, but they are dumb sheep. Sheep are not intelligent creatures. People tell us a lot about how intelligent pigs are, and we often don't think of pigs as being intelligent and sheep as being more intelligent because they're so docile and clean and everything. But boy, sheep depend upon their shepherd, and they tend to wander off. And there's many places where we are warned in Scripture about wandering off. But Jesus said, "As long as you're under my protection, no one can snatch you away from me." Our enemy has no power over us as long as we stay with the shepherd. The thief does not come to the door, though. The thief, he will try to crawl over the wall and to steal one or two sheep. You know, a thief, they're not like the old cattle rustlers that we, you know, hear about in, back in the old West, that they'd come in and try to take the whole herd. A thief of the sheep didn't try to take the whole flock. They would sneak in there and just get what they could get under their arm. Why? Because all they're looking for is just that one or two sheep. They're just looking for the small benefit at the time. The thief, though, does not come to the door because the doorkeeper's not going to let them in. So they climb in over the wall and steal sheep. In John 10 and verse 1, Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Only the real shepherd, only the true shepherd will come through the door. There's no other legitimate entry but through the door. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So either one is in or out. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. But narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Jesus said, "I am the only way to come to the Father. I am the door, and this is a narrow or straitened way in which to enter." In other words, there's not a lot of choices. There's one way. One way. And it is a way that is restricted to what God says is the means by which to enter into the sheepfold. Number two. The good shepherd, Jesus said, gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Verse 11. Jesus died for us even before we were his sheep. Even before we were following him. He made it possible for us to follow him. Romans 5, the Apostle Paul wrote it this way, verses 6 through 8. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Before we even became part of the sheepfold, the shepherd made it possible for us to be there. This is only for the good of the sheep. 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and 25, "For he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Jesus didn't die for himself. He died for us. Jesus didn't become our shepherd because that was what he wanted, but it's what we needed. He did it for us. And he did it when we were still sinners or enemies against God. He bore our sins to become our shepherd. Jesus goes on to point out that the hireling, he's not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep. If he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep, he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. John 10, verse 12, where we read. The hireling looks out only for himself. And this is a lot like the false teachers today. What do you think Jesus meant when he said that there were many that come who pretend to be shepherds, and they're not. They are false shepherds. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3, Peter, in speaking of false teachers, said, "By covetousness They will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. Why do some people teach false doctrine? It's for themselves. They are looking for what they can get out of it. Covetousness. It's all about what I can get, says the false teacher. That's why. That's what their motivation is. They look out only for themselves. They are the hireling. Number three, the good shepherd, though, knows his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. That's one thing about Jesus. Jesus does recognize us individually. We mentioned a moment ago how difficult it is for a shepherd to know each one of his sheep. Jesus knows us. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 through 31, he said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. For the very hairs of your head are numbered," or all numbered. "Do not fear, therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows." Now, I don't know of any shepherd that knows the number of curls of wool on a sheep. But God knows you. He says, even the very hair on your head is numbered. God knows us individually. He knows us intimately. He knows us exactly. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. When we think about God, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, He knows all, He has all power, He's everywhere, we are limited in our knowledge, we are limited in our where we can be. I can only be one place at a time. How many times have you told your kids that? And we're limited in our power. The difference between God and us, the way Isaiah described it, is the difference between God's ways and our ways, and God's thoughts and our thoughts, is the difference between heaven and earth. Isaiah wrote in chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. How did God ever come to be able to identify with our weaknesses and our strengths? God, who is without weakness and who has all strength, is able to identify with our weakness and what little strength that we have. He's able to identify with that. How? Well, He had to come and be like us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore, in all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are tempted." Jesus was tempted in all things, just like you and me, He says in chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. "And yet without sin." He came to be able to identify with what it's like to be a human being. And as a result of that, He became the perfect, faithful high priest to intercede for us between us and God. In order for God to recognize our strengths and our weaknesses, God came in the flesh. Emmanuel, God among us. The sheep, then, only follow their shepherd's voice. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, "that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." So when the false shepherd comes, the false teacher. The sheep aren't going to follow him if they know their master's voice, if they know what the truth is. The Apostle Paul here says that we need to grow and we need to mature to such an extent that we are not like children, easily persuaded and easily deceived and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but that we become mature and grown up so that we're not deceived by the false prophet, by the false shepherd. We're not lured out of the sheepfold by a false voice. Number four. The good shepherd has one flock and many kinds of sheep. In this case, this shepherd does not have just one kind of sheep. He has all kinds of sheep. Do you know how many different kinds of sheep there are? That's okay, I don't either. But I know there's more than one kind of sheep. And so here he uses the idea that I have different sheep other than what we think of. John 10 verse 16. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Jesus, of course, here is making an illustration of the Jews and the Gentiles. He's talking about how that the Gentiles will be able to come in. He says, and there will be one flock and one shepherd, verse 16. These are going to be sheep of every nation. As Jesus gave the great commission to His disciples in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Salvation originally was of the Jews. As a matter of fact, that's what Jesus told the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4 and verse 22 when He said, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But yet the message, and the message was first given to the Jews as Jesus sent out the limited commission. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent to and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But when they rejected it, then it was given to the Gentiles. As we read in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of the God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. In Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said the gospel was given to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So salvation began with the Jews. John tells us in John 1 that Jesus was sent into his own received him not, referring to the Jews. So the flock in which Jesus is going to have is made up of not just Jews, but also all other nations, every other nation available to him. All, regardless of what gender you are, what nationality you are, what color you are, what language you speak, makes no difference. You're all invited to come into the sheepfold. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. Paul wrote, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The invitation is to everybody. Come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Jesus is the good shepherd. He will lead you in the right way. He will watch over you with tender, loving care. And He will save you from your enemies. All of that referring to the real purpose of life. why we're here. We're here so that we may spend eternity with our Creator. And Jesus is the shepherd that leads us to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you one of His sheep? Are you willing to confess your faith? In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Are you willing to repent of your sins and be immersed in water for the remission of sins? As Peter told those Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you willing to become a follower of Jesus Christ? Submit to Him as your shepherd and follow Him into the house of the Lord. This morning we give you the opportunity to do just that, because He's calling you. He's asking you. He's inviting you to enter into that sheepfold and to have Him as your shepherd. If you're willing to do so this morning, please come now as we stand and sing this song.